getting harder to put this on. I know what y'all were thinking. Some of you are not nice. Y'all have not noticed that I've lost weight. And to keep my pants up, I have to really tighten my belt. So it's harder to get this thing on. So, see what I said? And it's really sad when you've lost 35 pounds and nobody knows it. Before we start the lesson this morning, I want to take just a minute and say a couple of things. One, it is so refreshingly pleasant and good to be associated with people where so many of you have such caring and giving hearts. You know, we've had a lot of things lately that have demanded that people reach out to other people, and it's commendable that we have so many people who are willing to feed, take care of, do the things that need to be done to give help to others. Sometimes we look for big things we can do, and sometimes it's the little things we do that express our love the most. And I am so pleased as I see so many in this congregation who have that attitude of helping and giving to other people. We're going to start with a question this morning. David said a long time ago, "I've been young and now I'm old." But do you remember how David finished that statement? "I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread." If every Christian walked in such a way that they understood the truth of that statement, how blessed our lives would be and how much peace we would find. This is not scripture, but I can say like David, I have been young and now I'm old. And I have really seen some strange things in this world. Have you? Have you seen some strange things in life? Things that I never thought I would see, I have seen. But I want you this morning to think with me about this question. With all of the things that go on in this world today, do you know what the world needs most? I know the answer we would all give right off the top of our head: the Lord. But I'm talking about, in human terms, what does the world most need? We can have a lot of answers to that, can't we? Money? Is anybody here that wouldn't take money? Don't want any? Wouldn't keep it if you had it? You'd give it away. No, we like money. How many of you like houses to live in? Especially the last couple of days. Automobiles. People love land, cattle, all kinds of possessions. Well, what do we most need today as we look at the world in which we live? Well, I will tell you, one of the things we don't need is human wisdom. How many people go through life seeking to solve all of their problems with human wisdom? Some of you have heard me tell this story, and this will get us to what I believe is the answer to this question. A good many years ago, on a Saturday morning, I got a phone call. A young lady said, "You're the preacher, aren't you, at such and such a church?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I need you to come meet me at the building. I need to talk to you." So I went down to the building, got in my office, which there was a door that went through, and then you went in. And I had made a terrible mistake. I had set my desk so that when I sat, I had to go around the desk and come to the door. I didn't have a door so I could run out. So in a few minutes, I heard the door open. And all of a sudden, into my office walked a young lady, tall, extremely beautiful. all of her. By that I mean, she had on a brown leather mini skirt about that long and a halter top that was untied. And I thought, what have you done this time? And she sat down. And she said, I need to talk to you. She said, my husband and I are having marital problems. And before I could help myself, I said, oh, imagine that. And then she said, and I want to fix my problems in my home. And she said, I have come up with the perfect answer. I need to make my husband jealous. And in order to make him jealous, I need to have an affair. And I cannot imagine anything that would make him more jealous than to have an affair with a preacher, and I got your name out of the phone. I got your number out of the phone. So, can you imagine? Wouldn't you think most people would say, girl, you are absolutely nuts. Can you fathom that kind of thinking? But I suggest to you that it's not much different than the thinking that is written in Scripture. The wisest man that ever lived, Solomon. Do you remember his solution? To war? To violence? I will buy peace. And how will you buy that peace, Solomon? I will go and marry the daughters of all the kings around me. So that when it was all said and done, Solomon was in possession of 1,000 women. Now, is there a man here today who would say that Solomon was smart? How many of you have ever been married and realized you can't even handle one? 1,000? But he bought peace, didn't he? For a season. But the wise man would later write, oh, I've tried it all. I've had all of these solutions to all of these problems. And when I finally got to wake up and realize what I had done, Solomon said it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. You must look in your own life. And how many of us go about in our life trying to solve our problems, trying to be happy, trying to find peace, and we've got all the answers. We'll do it our way. Now, that brings me back to our question. What do we need most? And I said, today we're not talking about Jesus. We're talking about people. How many men have lived like Solomon? Busy every day, trying to make things work. I told you about the dear friend of mine who had an absolutely wonderful career as far as money was concerned, some prestige, traveled all the time, made a tremendous amount of money, built a big house, had land out in the country, all the things he and his children wanted, until, as he said to me one day, I missed the only thing about it. I let my children grow up without God, and now I spend all the days of my life looking at land I don't want, viewing cattle I don't need, living in a house that does not bring me happiness because my children are in a foreign world away from God. Sadness. But how many of us have gone through, we can make things better by being angry. Have you ever yelled and screamed against all the injustices you felt in your life? And tell everybody how much you've been mistreated? How many times have we gone through life saying, all I need is a little help? So give me a little more alcohol. Give me a few more drugs. Give me a few more things that are in the world, and everything will be wonderful. And like Solomon, hopefully we wake up one day to realize it's vanity and vexation of spirit. But I want you today to think with me about something we really desperately need in our world today. And I've thought about this a lot more the last few days, as we've mentioned and we've all experienced the passing of ladies or women that some people have looked up to greatly in life. During the last few days, I hope all of you have done this some, but it's brought back many memories to me, once again, of my mother. In Proverbs 31, the wise man asked a question. Who can find a virtuous woman? A good woman. And you know what Solomon said? And Solomon ought to know, because he had searched the world over. But he began to tell us that a good woman is worth more than rubies. She's priceless. You can't buy her with a credit card. Some things money won't buy. And good character, honesty, integrity, all of those things that make for a good character, you can't buy. Now, some of you know, and maybe you've read the book where it was written about the greatest generation of people. I often wonder, are we indeed seeing the passing of a generation we'll never see the likes of again in the world? Are we seeing people pass who were people of integrity, who had that work ethic, who loved the Lord, they loved their family, they were honest, they were sincere, they seemed to be tireless in their pursuit of their goals? And today you look around, and what are people after? What are they chasing? What seems to be of value to us? I want you to think for a minute in our world today. How many women do you know today? And I'm not, I can name some, so don't think I'm picking on everybody. But how many women do you know today that you would say, there is a virtuous woman? There's a good woman. Her husband is blessed to have her. And I won't say this. A lot of you men ought to be ashamed of yourself. Because when you have one, you need to tell her. And I'm telling you, a lot of young people today are growing up in homes that even if there is love, it is a sarcastic type. Oh yes, she's a great woman. I'm so lucky to have her. Do we do that a lot with each other? Do children growing up in a home hear parents talk about each other? He's selfish, he's spoiled. She's this, she's that. The world today, in my judgment, needs good women more than any other one thing. And here are the reasons. You men listening? As a whole, men are weak. As we noticed this morning in class, from the very beginning of time, men have been easily manipulated. Eve at least gave it thought, I want this. It will make me this. But all she had to do with Adam was, here, eat it. Why? Because she told him to. And how many men do what their wives tell them? Because they say, if I don't, I'm going to have to pay for it. The old saying is true. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I have said this many times. I believe and truly believe that all my life, and I hope in eternity, I will be thankful for the knowledge my dad imparted to me about the Word of God, how to study it, how to revere it, how to teach it. But that would have meant nothing if there hadn't been a mama who taught me to love God, to respect Him, to love women, to be respectful of the things that matter, and to teach me that you better pay attention when you're not doing right. What the world needs today is women of character. And some of you in the past few days have heard people say of your mother, your grandmother, somebody you love, sweet lady, woman who was good, a virtue, a value. Isn't it sad that sometimes, and I'm not, again, picking on anybody, but isn't it sad sometimes that when that statement is made, some of the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, whoever it might be, have to look at themselves and say, that ain't me. I'm not like that. Why not? What have we lost in the world in which we live today? Where did it all go a little bit south? Here's where it went. We became a people who value instant gratification. I want what I want, and I want it right now. Regardless of the consequences, regardless of what it might cost me, I want it, and I want it now. Right? And you better give it to me. And one of the biggest mistakes mothers are making today, and dads too, but mothers, is allowing children to convince them to do what they want. We talked about this. Go to Walmart. Just listen to the child who says, I want that. You're not going to get it. And after 782 cries, the child has it. And two aisles down, I don't want it anymore. I want that. And now it doesn't take but 200 cries to get the second thing. I've told you this before. The first time and only time I ever said to my mother, Mom, will you help me? Convince Dad I want to go to this party. She said, I might. Who's going? I said, everybody. She said, forget it. You're not going. I said, but Mama, everybody's going to be there. That's why you're not going. Because if everybody's going to be there, some of it's not going to be good. And you know what I thought? My mama's so mean. She doesn't love me. She's just trying to make life miserable for me. I just want to fit in. How many of you have ever wanted to fit in? I've been trying all my life and hadn't got there yet. And because of my mama, I guess I never will. Because her philosophy was, if you fit in with everybody, there's one great being you can't fit in with. You can't fit in with God and fit well with the world. They are diametrically opposed to each other. How many of us, and I'm talking primarily about ladies here, how many women do you know who've ever had to wake up one day and say, what Solomon wrote in Psalms 31, or Proverbs 31, does not describe me? I've been so far away from godliness and holiness and righteousness, honesty, integrity, that I've not been the example for my children, for my husband. And listen to what I said again. Ladies, men are no better than women make us be. If you will let them lie, cheat, steal, that's what you'll get. I heard this a long time ago, and I think I shared this with you sometime back when at a women's convention, a lady said, ladies, everybody's looking for the knight on the white horse to ride in and solve all your problems. And the lady said, here is my advice to you. The next time he rides in, send the knight packing and keep the horse. There's wisdom in that. What are you looking for? What are women looking for today? Do you see how the wise man ends this proverb? There will come a day, he said, when if the woman is good and righteous, her husband will praise her. Her children will rise up and praise her. And she will have her own good works to sing her praises. I think I may have told you this story too. A man had died, and his brother went to the preacher and said, I want you to preach my brother's funeral. And he said, no way. Your brother was one of the sorriest men I ever knew. So he went all through town. No preacher would do his service. So he came back to the same preacher and he said, look, if you'll just say one good thing about my brother, I'll give you $10,000. The preacher thought about it and he said, I think I can do that with a clear conscience. So when he got up, he said, here's so and so. He's died. One of the sorriest guys I ever knew. He was a liar, a cheat, fornicator, so on down the road. He just went off the list. And finally he said, but compared to his brother over there, he's a saint. Do we sometimes set our standard for righteousness based on who we associate with? Well, I'm okay because I'm better than so-and-so. I'm a person of character because they'll do things I won't do. Here's the thought I want you to take home with you. What was Solomon really telling us? When you read of this virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, do you ever get the impression she was tired? She didn't sleep a lot. She got up early. Her lamp didn't go off at night. She worked in the marketplace. She sewed. She cooked. She must have been wise because she taught her husband how to be wise so that he could even be wise when he came to speak in the gates. She was busy. I say this. I don't know how to say this kindly, so I'll just say it. Many women today would do themselves a blessing if they could just learn to be quiet. And I don't mean don't talk. How much of the world's business is discussed not from the standpoint of healing, helping, growing, and leading men to Christ, but how much business is discussed throughout the community, the town, the county, the state, the world, and when you boil it down, its real purpose is to tell what's wrong with other people, how bad they are, what they've done we don't like, and we spread a vicious spirit among people. Here's what I want you to take home with you. I've said this so many times. God really doesn't care today where you've been. And if I stopped right there, that'd be a very bad statement, wouldn't it? But he doesn't. There are a lot of people today in our world who are not virtuous. They're not righteous. The focus of their life is not God. It's not Christ. It's not the church. It's not leading their children to righteousness and holiness. But it's about things. I happen to have met this lady. Some of you have heard me tell this true story. Her birthday was coming. She was a widow. She had three children. So the oldest son called Mama and said, "Mama, we're all coming home for your birthday. We're going to visit with you on Sunday." She said, "Oh, I'll be looking forward to that." So they all got home, and Mama wasn't there. And they were upset. So in a little bit, here came Mother. "Where have you been?" "I've been to worship. We called you and told you we were coming." To which Mama replied, "Yes, I know. But you see, he had already called." How many of us, and this applies to all of us, men and women, how many of us teach our children not just by words but by actions what's important? Does a trip, company, "I've been out all week, I've worked hard, and I need to rest on Sunday"? Do the things of the world call me away from what is really important? There will come a day when you will have no greater joy in life than to have a child say to you, "Mama, I'm a Christian today because of you. You are my Jesus. I have seen him in you." I remember one young lady so clearly. She had two boys. And those boys loved Mama, but Mama was really messing up. And she told me one day, she said, "I've already made a mess." And I said, "Yeah, you have." But I said, "Don't ever forget this. The God we serve is absolutely amazing. Your children will never forget what you have been. But why don't you make them know who you are and who you can be?" 22 years later, one of those boys is a preacher. The other is a faithful member where he and his mother attend. And she will tell you, "I have no greater joy than where my children are today, because I decided he mattered more than anything else in my life. More than riches, more than fame, more than anything." And her children will tell you, and as they do me, "We remember what Mama was, but how thankful we are for what she is. And we will know heaven because of her." Preachers elders, teachers, leaders everywhere in the church are raised by mamas. If you know one who's alive today, praise her. Hug her neck. Thank her that you've seen a godly example. If that's not the focus of your life today, why not? There is no greater joy that you will ever experience than to know that you have led people to Christ by your godly life. If you're subject to his invitation today, we encourage you to come while we stand at the
lovely and tenderly.